Hello. We are sorry that we lost our connection because we are talking to you from India. And we know that most of you are in the United States. Okay, so Dr. Divya will continue what she was telling you earlier.
Yes. Ayurveda is not merely a medical system aimed at the treatment of disease, but a healthy and natural way of living to develop one's highest potential in life. Ayurveda begins with the right lifestyle, including daily and seasonal health rhythms, designed for each individual based upon their natural constitution, environment, and life circumstances. A system of medicine requires an understanding of how the body works. A system of diagnosis and treatment methods of all kinds, including diet, herbs, and clinical procedures. The benefit of Ayurveda is that it helps an individual to live in harmony both with the nature and with one's own nature.
Right. How does it work, Divya? A healthcare practice is, of course, to make people feel healthy and happy.
The working principle, you mean the how do Ayurveda work?
Yes, when we compare with other healthcare
Yes,
practices, such
with
as,
the modern system of medicine.
right.
Yes, how do Ayurveda works?
Yes.
Yes, that's why we can say that Ayurveda is complete, it's esoteric. Because you know, Ayurveda works on certain sets of basic principles. Of these, the basic theories are Pancha Mahabhuta theory and the three dosha theories. They form the basic ones. We have a lot of theories on which the Ayurveda works. These two are the basic theories, right? The Panch Mahabhuta theory and the three dosha theory, they are the basic ones. These principles provide an individualized adaptation, primarily through its theory of three doshas. Knowing one's own doshic type or one's own constitution and helps that individual in adapting with the nature or help one individual to live in harmony with the nature. Because we can say that every human body is a miniature form of the macrocosm. Okay, so when we can depict this macrocosm with the theories of Panchamahabhuta and the three doshas, same like that, a human body also can be represented. So these two, based on these two theories, the principles, the treatment principles work of Ayurveda works.
Right. Ayurveda, as we told you at the time of introducing this program, is more than 5,000 years old. Then why are we talking about it now? The thing is that, for various reasons, India happened to be a country with its own social and political problems as well. India had a system called caste system. The society was caste structured, so occupational choice was confined to particular castes and communities. Again, when India had to face a lot of invasions, the Muslim invasions and then the Western imperialism, much of its knowledge was unnoticed and even unrecognized. So now the world is aware that India is a country that has produced a lot in the field of science, technology, medicine, and all that. So people are now becoming interested in Ayurveda everywhere. And there is a reason for that as well. Why is it that people all over the world are becoming interested in Ayurveda?
The reason that people all over the world is interested in Ayurveda, nowadays the modern system of medicine in that they are actually treating the microorganisms. We can we can say in short. And these microorganisms are getting drug resistant day by day. So that means the medicine in the modern system, which were used around 5 years back, is not potent as it was before right now. Or else we are forced to find out a medicine which is having more potency, right? Increased potency than the one which we had 5 years back. This shows that the microorganisms are getting drug resistant day by day, right?
Yes.
So, but this is not the scenario with Ayurveda. The medicines what we made 5,000 or we gave to the patients 5,000 years back is still effective in this modern era. Which was used in the olden era is still effective in the modern era. So this shows that when we treat diseases with these Ayurvedic medicines, the microorganisms are not getting drug resistant. We are using that same medicine since 5,000 years. Why is this happening? That's a big question. People started questioning that. In modern system, the medicines, we are introducing new medicines in the market because we say that the older ones got drug resistant. So we need more potent one. So, but in Ayurveda, the scenario is not like that. It's quite different. That's people started understanding that Ayurveda is effective in that case, right?
Yes.
So that means the Ayurvedic medicines were effective 5,000 years back. It's still effective and it will be effective in the future also.
Okay, so we have to tell our listeners why Ayurvedic medicines are all effective all the time.
Yes, that's a very good question.
There is a reason for that.
Yes, it's a very good question. The reason is that whenever a physician treats a disease with Ayurvedic medicines, we are not treating or killing the microorganism there. Here, what we are doing is that our body, within ourselves, we have a self-healing capacity, right? So we get diseased. That means our body is not right now able to fight against that disease. It's not able to get healed itself. So what we have to do is that we have to help the body to heal itself, right? For that, we are trying to rejuvenate the body so that the body itself can fight against the disease and the person can be normal. So here, we are not killing any microorganism. Whatever be the microorganism, we don't. It can be X, Y, or Z. We are not specifying it. The thing what we are doing is that we are improving the defense mechanism or improving the immune power or improving the self-healing capacity of an individual or for human body, and the body itself is fighting against the disease and bringing back the body to its normalcy.
Yeah, when you say this, I remember to have read an article saying that, article in which the British Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Sally Ann Davies,
recently,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Right. It's very recent.
Yes. She says that in another 2 decades, perhaps the most serious killer of human beings will be antibiotics. Why does she say that? What do you think of what do you think of the message she's trying to convey?
Yeah. What she's trying to convey is that we are introducing new medicines into the markets, right?
Yes.
Why? Because the older ones are getting ineffective.
Right.
Right? So that means the microorganism which are causing infection it's getting more and more potent. Right?
Yes.
So to fight against that microorganism, we have to introduce again new ones into the market. So one day we'll reach where we will not be able to fight against any of these microorganisms. So even a minor surgery, what she said, and she said the same thing, that even a minor surgery can kill a person, right?
Because they will develop infection beyond control,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Uncontrollable infections. Right.
As these antibiotics are making these organisms drug resistant.
Well, so yeah, so that she says that it is much,
of course, for the microorganisms, the survival of the fittest.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that's policy there.
Right.
So they will also be getting more and more potent day by day.
Yes. So she says that it is going to be a much more serious threat to our existence than terrorism and other problems which we widely speak about these days.
What she said is absolutely right.
So right.
What she said is absolutely right.
That is a very big problem, isn't it?
Because, you know, again, we know that in India, when we had the problem with the mosquitoes,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Each and every day, we are introducing potent drugs.
Yes, insecticides.
Yes,
right.
Of course, to kill these mosquitoes. They are becoming more and more. Yes.
Yeah, Divya, I think we need to turn our listeners' attention to another aspect of modern medicine. That is side effects, isn't it? Ayurveda, when we speak about Ayurvedic medicines, we can honestly say that they're almost completely free from side effects, right? And again, we are perfectly honest when we say that. How can we elaborate on that?
About the side effects. Yes, it's true that Ayurvedic medicines is not having any side effects. It's having effect. Every medicine has its effect.
Yes.
But no side effect. The reason is the same. Because Ayurvedic medicines always work on the basic principle of three doshas. The humors, humors of the body.
Yes.
These three balances the body. So what Ayurvedic medicines do is that they always, because these three doshas, the vata, pitta and kapha, we say.
Okay? Yes.
These three doshas should always be balanced in a human body, right? So, because these three doshas always represent the biology, the physiology, or even the pathophysiology of a body, human body. So, these three doshas must be always be in balanced state. When they get imbalanced, we get disease.
Right.
So, what Ayurvedic drug is doing that, they are trying to bring back this balance. They try to maintain the balance of these three doshas. So once a drug is trying to bring back the balance of the body, it's showing its effect. Right? That means they are trying to bring the body back to normalcy. So then why should they get a side effect there?
Right.
When they are working with their effect, there's no need to produce a side effect. Right?
Yes. Our programs are not aimed at fighting against anyone. And in fact,
it's for the sake of the humanity.
Yes. We want to have a healthy dialogue with other systems of medicine as well. Mm-hmm. But of course, it is our duty to make our listeners understand what our strength is, right?
Yes.
So that is what we are trying to convey these messages to them. And obviously, I remember you to have told me that some medicines, I don't remember because I'm a journalist and you are a doctor. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the name of the medicine or other things. But you said that some medicines used to treat some conditions such as rheumatoid arthritis lead to internal bleeding and needless death.
Needless death.
But Ayurvedic drugs do not cause any such side effects.
Yes.
So that is a major reason.
Yeah.
Right?
Of course.
For Ayurveda to become
but
popular.
But the thing is that these Ayurvedic medicines should be used in a proper way.
Yes.
Any medicine which is not used in a proper way, that will cause defect to the bodies. So an Ayurvedic physician should be very, very careful. Should be very, very careful that he is using the medicine in the right way, because every medicine is having its effect. And that effect should turn to be positive to the body. It should never be negative. If it's negative, then we are going to get the negative results. If we use the medicine in the right way, in the right dose, in the right time, we will get very good results. And that will be always positive without any side effects.
Yeah, I want to tell our listeners that we are not going to go away with one chair. We are going to be with you maybe from May or perhaps even from the third week of April on every Sunday and another day of the week as well. We will let you know these things later. However, we want to tell you about many things that Ayurveda is doing for us. It is not a healthcare system that can create terror in your mind. It has a lot of properties, hasn't it, Divya?
Yes,
it has of course, we are talking about the curative or therapeutic properties of Ayurveda. But obviously, preventing diseases is certainly much better than curing them. Prevention is better than cure. Everybody knows that. So Ayurveda has preventive, then diagnostic, therapeutic or curative, then rejuvenate and cosmetic properties in them. So we will expose all of them to you. And we welcome our listeners to interact with us. You can always ask us questions and we will be happy to explain what is what. And obviously that is also a part of this show. So, for example, Divya, when we think of preventing diseases, everybody thinks of vaccination. Of course, the first vaccination was introduced by Sir Edward Jenner, smallpox vaccination.
Yes.
But what are the methods of preventing diseases in Ayurveda? What do we use?
As I told you earlier, the human body works on the three doshas.
Or three humors.
Yes,
right?
Three humors.
Right.
Right? So we need a balanced state. Balanced state means healthy state.
Yes.
Healthy with body and mind. Right? So in Ayurveda, what it's emphasized is to bring the balance, to keep the balance or to maintain the balance of these three humors in the body.
Yes.
For that, we have to take care of the daily regimen. Okay? In Ayurveda, it advises people how to lead a healthy life. What all things a person has to follow in his life. That comes with the diet part, right? In the daily regimen, it comes with diet. What all taste should be included in the food, right? What all types of food has to be taken by an individual to balance these doshas? What all type of food is harmful or what all type of food will bring imbalance in these doshas? And what all routines they have to follow? At what time they have to wake up? Once they are from the bed, what all things they have to do, right? At what time? What all therapies they can do daily so that they can remain free from diseases, and also things they can do to improve the immunity or build up their self-healing mechanism or build up their immunity so that no organisms can bring them down, bring that body. That's
a way it prevents diseases, isn't
it?
Not by simply giving you a vaccination.
Ayurvedic living or a healthy living, it's not just made in a day.
Right.
It should be made from the beginning of a human life.
Right.
When the baby is in the womb of mother, from a diet time itself, the mother has to take precautions. And she has to follow certain regimes so that the baby is born healthy. And once the baby is born, how the baby should be treated, everything, each and everything, how to be led, it's explained in Ayurveda. In short, we can say that how each moment in the life can be led
by following the right kind of
so that
right?
That person can live his life healthy. It doesn't mean that we want to increase the lifespan of a human being. It means that a person, let him live, but he should live healthy till his death.
Yes. Modern medicine has certainly worked wonders. Of course, it has its diagnostic techniques. And sometimes these techniques are now beyond the reach of the common man. How do Ayurvedic physicians diagnose diseases?
Yes, that is really a very good question. How do Ayurvedic physicians, diagnose diseases? Ayurveda is having a very well set system of diagnostic method. Okay, the main part comes with the Nadi Pariksha, the pulse diagnosis, which forms a major portion in diagnostic part of Ayurveda. By reading the pulse of a human being, we can know which humor is deranged. Okay, so once when we know that which humor is deranged, we can know that which all system is getting affected there, or which all system is deranged there. So that is the main, pulse diagnosis has got pretty good recognition worldwide. The physicians just touch the pulse of a person and he can say what all disease he is suffering from. And again, we have other techniques like pariksha means examination. We question, we diagnose from questioning, we diagnose diseases from observation, and we find this, diagnose diseases by touch. Darshana, sparshana,
That bit by yes, sight, by touch, right?
Yes, by questioning.
Yes.
By sight, by touch, by all these methods we diagnose disease. In that pulse diagnosis has got very good recognition on that.
Right. Then I want to. Yes, he's asking overall like what?
I'm sorry.
Doug, could you please ask the question?
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Very good. Hello.
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 Hi. I just wanted to ask the doctor. Cancer is one of the United States' biggest disease here. And how does your medicine treat cancer? And how do you treat the mind as well as the body when you treat with Ayurveda? And what places in the United States actually practice this?
Oh, so you're asking what kind of treatment is there in Ayurveda for cancer and also psychiatric disorders, right? And again, where it is available in the United States. Am I right?
Uh-huh.
The doctor will answer your question. The doctor Divya will answer your question. But is it what you are asking? Is your question related to cancer treatment and also psychiatry?
Yes.
Right. And you want to know where genuine Ayurveda is available in the United States, right?
Yes.
Okay. So Dr. Divya will tell you these things, right?
Yes. I'll give you cancer treatment again. When we treat patients with cancer, the treatment methodology in Ayurveda is having five detoxification methods, or we call it Panchkarma, right? So,
karma means method, isn't it?
Yes, methods, right?
Pancha means five.
Pancha means five.
Five.
Five detoxification procedures are there, right? Among that, one procedure can be chosen, right? And that can be done to that patient so that his body will be completely detoxified. Once the body is completely detoxified, that will trigger the self-healing mechanism, the inner health of that human being, right? Once the inner health of that human being is improved, the body itself will fight against the disease. Right, and once this detoxification therapy is done, we go with the rejuvenation therapy. Rejuvenation, we can say that it's almost like a stem cell therapy, right? Rejuvenating the cell, which has lost its capacity to live, we are reviving that cell back, and we are giving him a new life. For that, both body and mind should get balanced. If his mind is disturbed, we can't get such a balance because body and mind is always related, right? So when we especially treat with cancer patients, we always take care of the part that his mind is also in a balanced state. And I think she has one more question.
That's a good question. And of course, she also wants to know whether Ayurveda has psychiatry.
Yes.
Obviously, you know, I'm a journalist, but I appreciate your call. We expect more and more of our listeners to call us. Please do that. Okay, now Dr. Divya will answer your other question. Psychiatry in Ayurveda.
Yes.
Right.
Ayurveda is having very good treatments for psychiatric diseases. Okay. Especially, we consider mind is also should be in a balanced state. These three doshas, mind is also having these three humors. Okay, so these three doshas should be balanced in a human body. I mean, body and also in the mind. So once any of these factors get deranged, the balanced state of the mind will be lost. Right. So whenever we do an Ayurvedic therapy, we try to bring back the balancing of that mind. For that, we are having a lot of therapies, especially for a person who is a schizophrenic. You can say that it's like that the patient is having a bipolar mood disorder there. He might be manic, okay, or might be depressive. So when a patient gets depressed, we have to bring him up, right? And when a person is very aggressive, we have to cool him down. When we see a person to be aggressive, there we should understand that the fire element or the pitta component or the pitta dosha is aggravated there. Pitta is always related with fire. So there we will be giving that person a lot of cooling therapies to bring his pitta down. So we are trying to bring back the balance. So this is a small example that I can give you.
Yes.
Right? So based on these humors, on these doshas, the treatments of Ayurveda work. And I think one more question she had.
Where she can get genuine Ayurveda in the United States.
Okay. I think Swami Lee can explain about that. I don't know the working, I mean practicing.
Obviously, now Dr. Divya is working at a hospital called Shantigram Kerala Ayurvedic Hospital in Delhi. They have 6 branches in the United States. But the problem in the US is that Ayurveda is not a recognized medical practice yet. So licensing restrictions make it difficult for you to get many benefits of Ayurveda. So people like you must certainly demand that this becomes available to you. The benefits of Ayurveda become available to you, right? It is not a false science, and of course it is a genuine science. Many people from the Western world are coming to different parts of India for Ayurveda treatment.
To India to get the benefit of Ayurveda because they are not getting this in their country.
Yes, but of course in Britain you will get.
Yes.
If you want to get the treatment in a Western country, go to Britain because I know that. I was studying there in London and at that time I wrote an article as a journalist about the Thames Valley University and the Ayurvedic Company of Great Britain. They were introducing the first ever degree program in Ayurveda along with a good hospital. And of course, there are many hospitals in Britain these days. So if you want to get treatment from a Western country, I recommend as a journalist to you to go to England or come to India at present. Obviously,
That's a little expensive for getting treated. Can you name any books that we may be able to read that could explain some of what you're talking about?
Right. You want to know some books from which you can get some basic information about Ayurveda? Okay. That of course, Dr. Divya will tell you. Some fundamental
Fundamental principles of Ayurveda, yes, you can get that. Mainly, I think she can get books of David Frawley or
yes,
Mark
Halpern. Yeah, Dr. David Frawley, and Dr. Mark Halpern.
She can contact California College of Ayurveda.
Yeah, a good source of information for you will be the California College of Ayurveda, right? It is very near to Los Angeles, I think. And Dr. Mark Halpern is the president of the college. I can give you their email ID, info@ayurvedacollege.com. Or you can contact Dr. Mark Halpern directly.
He's Dr. Shiva, right?
Yeah, yeah. Dr. DRH at ayurvedacollege.com. So they will certainly guide you. Another American doctor is Dr. David Frawley. And these people become Hindus as well, right? Okay, he's another leading Ayurvedic practitioner. He will also help you in getting a lot of materials in the United States. And then another person, he's also a talk show host and a doctor, Dr. Deepak Chopra. He's a doctor of Indian origin. So these are the people whom you can contact, right? At present, I have the details of contacting Dr. Mark Halpern, and that's why I gave you. So you can contact him, drh at ayurvedicollege.com or info@ayurvedacollege.com.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. You can always call us, yes. Right. So Divya, then we were talking about various, you know, treatment at the same time. Yeah, then could you explain the treatment methodology as such?
Yes, that's the main portion and the main part of the Ayurveda, the treatment methodologies. Ayurveda's treatment offers its five detoxification methods, as I told earlier. It is a panchkarma. Panch means five, karma means therapies. Mm-hmm. Or methodology,
method, right?
The methods or therapies, as they are Sanskrit words. That, these are based upon an individual diagnosis and a monitored treatment over an extended period of time, right? So the increased doshas or the deranged doshas which has been deranged, I guess, good, vitiated, are systematically brought to the digestive tract, for their removal. These methods are safe, organized, and effective. Okay, so once they are brought, after this set of extended period of time with this extended treatment methodologies, we try to bring back all these vitiated doshas or the toxins. In short, we can say get these toxins to the intestine or the digestive tract, and from there it is expelled out of the body either through the upper part or through the lower part, and it depends upon the kind of the dosha which is vitiated. Right, if the kapha dosha is vitiated, we always go for a therapy, detoxification therapy through the oral route. For that we do induced vomiting therapy, and we call it vamana. Okay, and if it's mainly with the pitta dosha, then we will be trying to remove the increased dosha through the lower part and by inducing purgation. Okay, and again, if it's related with vata, we will be giving medicated enema therapies, right? Enema therapies, oil enema and decoction enema options are there. And that is always decided by the physician, which one is to be given and which therapy is to be done there. So that's one method in that three. And again, one more method is bloodletting therapy. In that one, especially done in skin cases of skin diseases and all, we go for the bloodletting therapy or the retha moksha. We have a lot of methods. Even leech is used for this therapy too. It's a bloodletting therapy.
Right.
Okay. And the other therapy is the nasya therapy, which is mainly done for the cleansing of head, especially done for cases like sinusitis and all, to take out all that inflammation and all that what is accumulated inside the sinus.
Nasya means you are applying
medicines to the nasal root.
Right.
Nasya can be, again, you know, when you go wide about it, it's pretty wide to explain. the benefits of nasya and how, in which, what all conditions we can do nasya.
Yeah, we will do all these things in our subsequent programs.
You know, each therapy, we can say about even vamana. If you want to say about vamana, we can talk for hours and hours about vamana or nasya, whatever it is. But I don't think that the time will be sufficient.
We will do it. Yeah, at present it is enough. And again, for our listeners' benefit, it's our pleasure to inform you that maybe in April or May, Dr. Mark Halpern will be our guest. So you can listen to him as well. He's an American. He's a qualified doctor in modern medicine. And again, he is now an Ayurvedic doctor as well. And he is the president of the California College of Ayurveda. It is for the benefit of our former caller again. The college is the California College of Ayurveda. And Dr. Mark Halpern, H-A-L-P-E-R-N, he is the president of the college. So he will be our guest. He has agreed to be on our show. But at present, he's teaching in the Bahamas. That's why he is unable to join us. So he will also be with us on many of our shows. So it is not...
I was telling about Panchkarma.
Yes.
Right. We can say that Panchkarma is basically a bio-cleansing regime, which facilitates the body system for better bioavailability of pharmacological therapies. Besides achieving this homeostasis or the normality of the dosha, it also increases the adaptability of the body. That's the main thing. Adaptability of the body to various dietary regimes and climatic conditions. And the use of rejuvenation therapies for promoting health. As well as for these therapies help in the elimination of disease-causing factors. As I told you, we are trying to, when we do a panchkarma, when we do a detoxification therapy, we try to bring these disease-causing factors or the vitiated dosha or the deranged dosha to a specific, to the gastrointestinal tract, and from there we eliminate it out to maintain an equilibrium of the body tissues and the humors.
Right. Then of course Ayurveda is used for rejuvenation as well. You know, people who are not sick also come for Ayurvedic treatment, right? Wellness centers. So what kind of contributions can people get from Ayurveda? For example, when people become old, can they get rid of their wrinkles or shivering when they speak and a lot of other problems associated with old age, right?
Yes.
Particularly these are important because the world is getting old rapidly. In many countries now, old people are going to outnumber young and able-bodied people. So what kind of solutions are there in Ayurveda for tackling this situation?
Actually, stress make people older. Right. They make people grow old. So what we can do is that de-stress yourself. Ayurveda is having very good therapies to de-stress one's body and mind and also to detoxify. A healthy body will be having a healthy mind. So once Ayurveda is giving treatments like full body Abhyankam. Abhyankam is a full body massage, Abhyanga we say. And again we keep Shirodhara. Shirodhara is really very good, it's a very soothing therapy which will give you a lot of mental relaxation. Right?
So can we call it anointment? Is it?
Abhyanga we can
call it.
Shirodhara is actually oiling therapy.
Right, oiling on your head only.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Shirodhara means? Yeah.
And that too we do with anti-stress oil.
Right.
We have drugs which are having anti-stress property and we do prepare medicines, oils using these anti-stress medicines, and that oil will be used there to do Shirodhara, right, to de-stress oneself. This we can do regularly on a regular basis, like twice in a month, right? Regularly, so that and once in a year, it's always beneficial to take a detoxification therapy.
Right. So that means all the five methods.
It can go for all the five, or you can go for any one among the five, which according to the need or according to the derangement, what is there right now in the body.
Right.
So it is good. Yearly once, if you can take, in Kerala, we had a practice like this, right, Swami?
Yes. It was, particularly in the monsoon season, you know,
yes,
in the month of,
yeah,
the month of July, and, July and August,
yes, it's,
people undergo that. Now these are getting revived.
Yes,
that's
of course, that's
a good thing about it.
Right. Okay. Because people start understanding the importance of Ayurveda. They start, engulfing good things. They
know, yes.
they came to know that, yes, we should always choose the goodness.
Yeah, good things in the world.
Yes.
And obviously,
we should
yes.
go behind it.
That's okay. Yes.
So that's why this is arriving back. Otherwise, it was all.
Yeah, people,
jump,
people thought that yeah,
was
everything
gone,
was.
Yes. Yeah. Something superstitious or something like that.
Right.
Yes.
Now, of course, there are, in the West, many people are accepting Ayurveda. And again, when we think of it, of course, it is good for treating all kinds of human ailments, isn't it?
Yes.
So you can say some examples from your career, although you are very young, although our listeners don't see you, but you are certainly very young, beautiful, energetic and all that. So from your experience of treating different types of diseases, what can you tell our listeners when we say that Ayurveda is good for treating all human ailments?
From my experience, I can say that I found very good results with Ayurveda for chronic diseases like osteoarthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, psoriasis, Parkinsonism, and many other skin disorders. I found very, very good effective results for them. Especially in this rheumatoid arthritis and all, people get good treatment, good treatment, and even, you know, in that what we actually do is that we do give them a very good diet plan, right? And we give a very good treatments what all will be beneficial for them. We do suggest them, we do advise them, you have to follow these things. The do's and don'ts are there, right? So what they can follow. And again, what I found is that psoriasis is having very good scope of treatment.
Right.
Okay. And then what I found is that the Takradhara therapy is having very good result.
What is that?
Takradhara is a therapy with the buttermilk. We are
right.
using natural things. Especially neem and turmeric is having wonderful effect on skin diseases.
Right.
And many other drugs are there. Neem and turmeric. They are used to prepare We medicate milk with these two drugs. Many other drugs are there. These are the main drugs. We medicate milk with the drugs, and then we make curd out of yogurt. We say
yeah.
yogurt out of it, and this yogurt is churned to make the buttermilk. And this buttermilk is used for therapy, especially
right.
for psoriasis patients. And we go with the panchkarma, especially with the purgation therapy.
Yes.
Induced purgation therapy. We call it Virechana. One among the five detoxification therapies, the Virechana therapy is mainly we go with the proper oleation and then we do the purgation to take out all the toxins so that the body will be clean and now the body itself is able, the cells are young now. And the body itself is able to fight against the disease.
Yes. And I remember you have told me about the treatment of diabetes in Ayurveda. And obviously, diabetes is now increasing worldwide. Right?
As it's a metabolic disorder.
Right. Diabetes, blood pressure and other things.
Yes.
So what kind of...
blood pressure is normally there, Swami.
Yeah.
It's increasing.
Yeah.
High blood pressure.
Okay. Hypertension,
yes.
I should say. Right.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So hypertension, diabetes and all these. And you told me that you had even some patients who were diabetic and who are now running around perfectly all right.
Yes.
Yes. So you can explain those things to our listeners as well.
Right. In treating a diabetes, actually I found that two drugs, turmeric and gooseberry. That's yes. amla, we can say. These two are wonder drugs for the treatment of diabetes. Okay? With this, only with this medicine, I have found very good results for the patients. And as diabetes is a metabolic disease, we are trying to bring back the metabolism back to its normalcy so that a person can live his life healthy. Because I know actually diabetes is, it's not curable. In fact, in short, when you say that it's not curable. But the thing is that we, as long as we live with this disease, we should live healthy. That's the point.
Right.
So in diabetes, what we do is that we try to make the metabolic system proper. We bring it to normalcy so that a person can live healthy. There it works with the Pitta dosha.
Right.
Because Pitta dosha is the dosha or the humor that care for the metabolic process in the body. Or we can in short say that all the enzymes can be depicted under the humor Pitta.
Right.
That's fire. Fire helps in transformation and enzymes do the same inside a human body.
Yes. I know that in general, the Americans, I mean, most of our listeners are from the U.S., they have a lot of interest in what kind of food we can recommend, or, again, they want to know exercise and Ayurveda, right, or meditation, all these things, and we will certainly take all of these issues. You need not worry at all, right?
Right.
But now I want Dr. Divya to tell our listeners how we make Ayurvedic medicine. So what are the things we need to make medicines?
Ayurvedic medicines mainly comprise of herbs. Okay, it can be of herbs. It can be of minerals. It can be of animal products. It can be of metals. Everything in this universe, nothing is there in this universe it is not having any medicinal property in it.
Right.
Right.
So at this juncture, I think I can tell them a story.
Yes, right? Yes, of course.
Because, you know, I once read, and of course it is true as well, you know, because in ancient India, education was done at a teacher's residence. Obviously, women were not teachers in those days. So there were men, and only men got education. So students or the disciples would stay with their guru, their master. So the doctor who treated Buddha, the founder of Buddhism, Lord Buddha, was a man called Jivaka. So Jivaka finished his studies. So at that time, when you finished your studies, you had to give your master an offering, which in Sanskrit is called Guru Dakshina. Right? So it was time for this doctor Jivaka to make an offering to his master, his guru. So he asked his guru as to what he could give. Interestingly, the master gave the disciple a hard task. Okay, go and find a plant which is of no medicinal value, or which is not containing a life-saving property. So yes. the disciple was in a way happy.
Yeah.
He went out. But he went in search of such a plant to the well-known universities in India at the time, called Nalanda and Takshashila, right, for 2 or 3 years. But he could not. Then he approached his master and said that he was unable to make the offering. But that made the master immensely happy. He told his disciple that, "Oh, my boy, now you have learned medicine. You are a good doctor."
Yes,
right?
Because he couldn't find
anything which does not have life-saving property.
Yes,
right.
Even sand.
Yes. So his master advised, told Jivaka that there in everything there is life-saving property. The only thing is that the right doctor must use the right product to the right patient at the right time, in the right way.
Yes,
right?
That's very important.
Yes.
Even we say that it doesn't have any side effect, it has its effect.
Right.
So that effect should be
good or bad, right?
Yes, it should be in a positive way.
Right.
Right. So if we give a wrong medicine, if we give that in a wrong way, that is going to create problems.
Right.
That's with every system of medicine. That is there with every system of medicine. Even if we say about the yoga, even if we say about the asanas, if the asanas is not done in a proper way.
Asana means yogic
Yes,
exercise,
yogic postures.
Right?
Postures or exercise. Because, you know, yoga and Ayurveda are the two interrelated branches of the same great tree of Vedic knowledge. Because I think in Western world, yoga has got its good stand, but still Ayurveda is not yet reached there.
Right. But Ayurveda is the...
Right.
All right. So it has been nice to be with you, listeners.
Yes.
Next week, that is, on the 24th, we will come with a program on obesity, and Dr. Divya will conclude the program. Right.
Yes. So I would like to say that Ayurveda is a science of life and longevity, having its roots in dating back more than 5,000 years. And it encompasses both ancient wisdom and practical science to create world's oldest and most comprehensive system of healthcare. Thank you.